Swung on high. This is tagged by hammered at the gap. At the track. High and deep to right.
That ball just got out of here.
This is going to go to the rock
pile. This ball's getting small.
This is charged. Right back at the track.
Seems like the ball's had a lot of life the last couple of nights.
They could go back to back. Here's Adam Engel. Swinging along with the left. We're going to have a tie ball game. He did go back to back. High and deep. This is crushed to left center field. This is going to go for a home run. Way out of here.
This is White Sox Weekly.
We're moving to that next pitch. It's time now to start having that progress towards a championship caliber team ultimately.
From our standpoint, there's a lot to be excited about.
Oh, this ball is absolutely blistered. High, far, I don't know if it's landed yet. Luis Robert, a two-run homer.
Barrel homer. Holy cow. You know, the ball jumped off. He's got leverage. He's got bat speed. He's got to put that all together, and he could be a monster.
I think we're ready to take that next step and head deeper down the path to ultimately winning championships.
The Chicago Baseball Conversation.
Deep in the right field.
On the flagship home of the Sox.
It is gone.
720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly on the air. Welcome in. Mark Carmen with you until 5 o'clock on White Sox Weekly, and then we get a bonus half hour of sports conversation leading you up to Blackhawk hockey. Big news this week with the White Sox making a move. Frank Menachino is the new hitting coach. He met the media, as did the general manager, Rick Hahn, and the manager, Rick Renteria. We have sound from all three coming up here. Vinny Duber, NBC Sports Chicago, will be with us at 4:35. I do want to welcome in Steve Bertrand, who normally does not work at this particular hour, but is working during White Sox Weekly. Steve, it's a pleasure and an honor, and I feel smitten on this Saturday afternoon.
I love your show so much, and I'm glued to it every weekend.
Right.
I just wanted to see it in action.
Right.
I am just so happy to be here and contribute any way I can.
Did you know that Frank Menachino, five years... No, you didn't, right?
No.
Well, I'm just going to tell you. He said he has 5 years of major league experience. That came with the Florida Marlins. Three was in as an assistant hitting coach, and two, he was the lead dog rocking the Marlins. Now, who was on that Marlins team? Bertrand, you're a baseball guy. You've heard of Christian Yelich, haven't you?
I have heard of Christian Yelich,
You've heard of Giancarlo Stanton, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Ye of the 59 homers under the tutelage of Frank Menachino in 2017. How would 59 homers look for an Eloy Jimenez? Which, by the way, in my mind, is not completely out of the realm of possibility for a guy who steps up as a rookie and is one of three White Sox players in the history of the franchise to have 30-plus homers in his rookie season, in a season that he, you know, missed a good portion as well. So just for the record, I want to get this out there. I was a huge Todd Steverson fan. Todd Steverson was one of the most easygoing, friendly, available people that you could ever run into in a major league clubhouse and or dugout before a game and or 1 o'clock on a Saturday before a 6 o'clock game. He's just hanging out, and he was always happy to talk to me and a zillion other media types. And he had a very long run here, and hitting coaches do not, you know, they don't last forever. That's just the way it is. New voices are needed, and we'll hear some sound coming up here from the White Sox explaining that. You know, Rick Renteria, clearly a big Todd Steverson fan, as was Rick Hahn, but sometimes in baseball, you do make change for change's sake, and also just to try to uplift these guys to the next level. So Frank Menachino spent this past year with the Charlotte Knights. Now, that is the White Sox AAA club. You probably know that, but just in case you don't, that's where he was spending his time. And Charlotte had a lot. Well, first of all, Charlotte had a phenomenal year offensively. Let's talk about what Charlotte did. Charlotte led AAA in runs scored with 792 runs. That's a good stat. They were second in on-base percentage, which the White Sox want to improve upon, at .352. They were second in slugging. They were second in on-base plus slugging. That's those things tend to come together. They were third in home runs, 208 homers on the year. So it's numbers, and it's also that he's got some strong connection with the players. Ryan Goins, who journeyman, right? Been around the league all over the place. Ryan Goins, quote, he was always there if anything kind of strayed. honestly, he was just good with getting through to guys, not trying to make every guy do the same thing. Debate's a good thing with him, even with guys who would come in from different teams or get called up or down or whatever. He was just good in general. I thought that was a hell of a quote from Ryan Goins. Very complimentary. So let's bring in Frank Menachino here. We're going to have him on the show in the upcoming weeks here. But I have audio from his press conference that I wanted to play for you today. So this was Frank Menachino on building rapport and how long it takes to sort of figure out what kind of hitter he's dealing with and what their potential truly is.
A lot of this stuff, and I'm a firm believer in this, that it takes 3 years in the big leagues. It takes roughly 1,500 at-bats to figure out who you are as a big league hitter. So you have guys like, you know, Moncada, Timmy. Timmy's in the big leagues. I think this is his third full year in the big leagues. You know, Moncada's second full year. So once these guys have the experience and the ups and downs and, you know, all the different stuff, little adjustments here, little adjustments there, once you figure out who they are and what they want to do and that's when you'll figure out what they'll become. And once they have the belief in who they are and what they can become, now it's my job to be their eyes and keep them where they want to be. And when I see things going bad, I got to have the relationship where I can approach them and say, hey, you're not doing this right. Hey, you're falling back to this. So it's getting to know them, getting to see where they're at, where they think they're at, what they want to improve on. And I'm a guideline for them to say, hey, I don't think that's going to work, but go ahead and do it. Try it. But I don't think this is going to work. This is going to work. It's building that relationship to where they could come in and almost to the point where we can go in the cage and actually argue a little bit. Hey, man, I want to do this, and this. Yeah, but you're not doing this. You're doing that. You know, where you could have a relationship with the guy where you could get him to go in there and get the best out of him. So that's kind of my plan with guys that have successful years. I ask questions. Hey, where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself? Who do you see yourself as? And this way, you come together and you work together.
So that was a fairly long cut, but I'm sitting there listening to it. I'm like, I like everything he's saying here. Let's let Frank Menachino sort of break this down. I particularly like the part, you want to do that? Okay, go ahead and try it. I don't think it's going to work, but you can prove me wrong. So that's somebody who's not married to doing it one way, right? And hitters come in all shapes and sizes and stances and all of it. So you got to be flexible with guys. Now, Frank Menachino has a little bit of a reputation of being kind of a hardcore stickler, army type. At least I had heard that from a couple of people. And he was asked about, how do you deal with these millennials, all these young guys? How do you reach them?
You know what? I never even thought about that before. I never even thought about talking differently to players. To be honest with you, I never talked about it. I mean, baseball is baseball. You deal with different baseball IQs every day, and you go about the business of trying to connect with that person and let them understand what you're trying to say. And basically, you got to be able to say the same thing five different ways. They get it when they get it. And as a coach, it's your job to figure out if they're receiving the message or not. But no, I never thought about talking differently to the players, no.
So now that could sound like, what do you mean you never thought about talking differently to these guys? These young guys are different than the young guys were 15, 20, 10, 30 years ago. But I actually think that millennials get a bad rap. And people say, oh, millennials don't want to work. It is more competitive now than it ever has been. It's harder to get into school. It's harder to get into sports. Every kid is in 17 different leagues being coached up by 17 different coaches, right? Kids are being specialized at 7 years old, 4 years old, whatever. These guys are going to speak the Frank Menachino language. They want to be successful. If you make it all the way to the big leagues, you are incredibly motivated. You work incredibly hard. They don't need to be reached with kid gloves. And what he also talked about is like, look, I got flexibility. You want to try it that way? Go ahead. If it doesn't work, we're going to come back and we'll have an argument. Frank Menachino has had a very interesting career. He was a 45th round draft pick. 45th round, 1993. He was drafted after the White Sox selected Casey Schuler. Casey is a woman. Casey was Ron Schuler's daughter, the general manager at the time. Menachino was picked in the 45th round. No, Casey never played in the big leagues, but this guy worked his way through the minors, got up to the big leagues, got set down, came back up. Here he kind of details how he can really relate to any single player because he's been through a lot.
There isn't anything in baseball I haven't been through, okay? I was a 45th round draft choice, drafted after a girl by the White Sox, Shula's daughter. I played in the minor leagues for 7 years before I made it. I made it up. I came back down. I went back up. Played in the playoffs. I've been through everything there is to play. I mean, everything there is to do. So, yes, it's definitely helped me. It's definitely helped me because I can relate to almost everybody's situation. Okay, so when it comes to relating to players and dealing with the stuff that they deal with on an everyday basis, slumps, personal stuff, girlfriend stuff, you know, everything that's going on. And you got to know when to put your foot down. You got to know when to pat them on the butt. You got to know when to pick them up. You got to know when to enlighten the situation. So, yes, my experience in pro ball has definitely helped me be the coach that I am today. And when I started as a hitting coach, I wanted to make sure that I was available and I was there for them. I wanted to be everything that I could be or wanted when I was a hitting coach or didn't get when I was a hitting coach. I wanted to make sure that I could give these guys everything they need to succeed because it's a hard game and hitting in the big leagues is hard.
Does that sound like he cares? I'm hearing a lot of caring right there. I wanted everything that I did not get. I saw the gaps of the people that were coaching me. I'm sure they were giving their best effort, but perhaps they did not know any better. And I want to take what I learned playing in baseball and give it back to these guys because I care. I like it. One last soundbite from Frank Menachino. The White Sox want to get on base more. So how do you get more base on balls? Not easy to do.
We don't go in the cage and say, okay, guys, here's how we're going to walk today. You know, walking is a byproduct of having a rock-solid approach and not giving in to the pitcher and covering one side of the plate at a time and not missing your pitch. Okay, so when a guy feels like he can't throw the ball down the middle or middle away or middle in, he has to be careful and work the edges. Now we have a guy that's susceptible to mistakes and we have a guy that's going to pick, get his pitch count up, and here we are waiting for our pitch. Having a two-strike approach is very important and conducive to that. So that's the type of stuff that we're going to be looking for.
White Sox on-base percentage this year, 23rd in all of baseball, 7 from the bottom. They were at a 314 clip. The best was, in the regular season at least, the Houston Astros, who are going to be duking it out with the New York Yankees to go to the World Series at 352. Washington Nationals were second at 342. So, obviously, getting on base matters. That's not news to anyone. The White Sox are going to try to be better at that in 2020. And by the way, if you are wondering what's going on in the old baseball world right now, the Nationals are leading the Cardinals 1-0. They are in the bottom of the fourth. Yankees and Stros coming up 7:08 first pitch. They're Masahiro Tanaka and Zach Greinke. Pick 10 plans on sale now. Get ready for the 2020 season with this flexible and affordable ticket plan. Pick your games, your opponents, your schedule. Lower level plans starting at $205. That's all. That's $20 a ticket, team. Visit WhiteSox.com to pick your plan today. Sitting in the lower deck for $20. You don't see that around baseball. Great value at Guaranteed Rate Field. And Sox Fest does return January 24th and the 25th in a new location. That's McCormick Place. The two-day fan fest will span more than 100,000 square feet, offering more ways to connect with your favorite Sox stars. SoxFest 2020, presented by Beggar's Pizza, Guaranteed Rate, Old Dominion Freight Line, Securian Financial, and Wintrust. Single and two-day passes on sale now. Get yours at whitesox.com/SoxFest. We're going to hear from the general manager, Rick Hahn, coming on back here, and then Vinny Duber from NBC Sports Chicago a little bit after 4:30. It's 720 WGN.
We do. Look, there's especially when you're focused on batting averages, it's kind of tough to say that consistency is going to be there year to year. But in terms of the underlying improvements, whether it was approach-based or some of the mechanical adjustments, we are very optimistic that the transition will be smooth in those regards, and that, if anything, we'll see improvements in underlying performance areas beyond just batting average going forward.
That's White Sox general manager Rick Hahn, who, despite some phenomenal performances, he believes the White Sox can be better offensively, and they're certainly pointing to the on-base portion of it. But look, Tim Anderson had a phenomenal year this year, right? He won the batting title. Jose Abreu led the American League in RBIs. Yoan Moncada had a breakout second season. James McCann was a journeyman borderline catcher who was hitting in the low twos, who made the All-Star team. A lot of guys had great years. Aloy had a phenomenal rookie season. But I think some of the reason that the White Sox are looking ahead to, or made a change with the hitting coach and bringing in Frank Menachino, is they were perhaps concerned that some of that was not necessarily sustainable going forward without a new voice. And also, you know, trying to uplift guys like Zach Collins, who Menachino had a good connection with at AAA. I'll be interested when we have him on the show to talk about that specific relationship. But so here was Rick Hahn earlier in the week, and yes, that Charlotte team was phenomenal. Is that one of the main reasons why Frank Menachino got the gig?
It goes deeper than strictly, you know, how many home runs they hit in Charlotte or the base percentage there, run score. Those are all relevant because you know some of the message is getting through. It's more about his interactions with the players, what you're hearing from Frank, how he's communicating that to the players, what drills he's using to get through to them, and then seeing the results come out on the field. Much less hearing from the players and their feedback about their interactions with them and then their positive feel for what he's teaching them and their ability to execute the plan.
So the players, excuse me, are speaking up on behalf of, hey, like when they go and ask him, hey, what do you think of Frank Menachino? And they're saying some nice things about Frank Menachino. They're also saying some nice things throughout the organization in the front office as well. This was Rick Hahn on that.
His familiarity with our players is important. Obviously, he has those relationships already in place. But I think it was probably more important the other direction, meaning that our comfort level with Frankie grew substantially over the course of the season. He impressed all of us, from Chris Getz, who was his immediate supervisor, to Kenny, to myself, to Ricky and others who dealt with him, even as early as spring training in the time he spent with us, much less over the course of the season at Charlotte. So it was really more about us being excited about what he can bring and getting to know him over the course of this year. That played a large role in this, as opposed to necessarily his familiarity with our players.
So that's interesting. Chris Getz going to bat for him as well. Not necessarily, by the way, going to bat at the expense of Todd Steverson, but he impressed Chris Getz, who's walking, you know, who's director of player development, going up and down the system. So he's talking to a lot of guys. And the front office was super impressed by him. And you look at the resume, Christian Yelich and Carlos Stanton, and you listen to him talk, I was Todd Steverson fan. And I hope he gets another job as a hitting coach, and I think he will. But I can see it starting to come. As I'm listening to all this, it just sort of crystallized as to why the White Sox felt like it was time to make a move and try to upgrade the offense even further. Hey, 2020 ticket packages are on sale now. You can secure your seat with a 20-game plan. Find the plan that meets your schedule and budget with lower-level plans starting as low as $403. For more information, visit WhiteSox.com or call 312-674-1000. Vinny Duber, NBC Sports Chicago, is coming up. We'll hear from Ricky Renteria before we get out of here as well. It's White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone! A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
Sox Weekly to the top of the hour, then I'll stay with you until 5:30. Blackhawks in Winnipeg coming up here on 720 WGN, a pregame at 5:30. Vinny Duber, NBC Sports Chicago. Nobody knows the White Sox like Vinny Duber, although James Fegan and of The Athletic and Scott Merkin of MLB.com, Paul Sullivan of the Tribune, Steve Stone perhaps would argue with that. But Vinny, I'm going with you right now because you're on the show, pal. What do you think?
I would agree that nobody knows them like me. You know what I mean? It's a very unique way of phrasing it. You know, you didn't put a qualifier like more or less on it, so I think you're all right.
Yeah, that's good use of the language there. Good listening by you, Vinny. Thank you. So, all right, why did the White Sox move along from Todd Steverson to Frank Menachino in your mind, now that you've heard Rick Hahn and Rick Renteria and Frank Menachino himself?
Yeah, I think mostly it just has to do with the fact that they really, really liked Frank Menachino, to be honest with you. I mean, I think that you could definitely see why change might have been necessary if you look at the numbers that the team has put up offensively, not just this season, but in recent seasons. Obviously, you know, it's very strange to see them make a change at hitting coach, perhaps when you have guys like Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez, do all the things that they did in 2019. But I think that they went out and hired Frank Menachino last winter to be their AAA hitting coach, and they loved what they saw from him down at Charlotte this year.
So he was in the White Sox clubhouse observing things in September. Did you get a sense that a change was coming? And I'm wondering, that had to be awkward for Todd Steverson. He had to have an inkling that perhaps change was on the way.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd go quite that far. I mean, I think those guys come up from AAA to kind of keep working, especially when you got a young team like the White Sox. Guys who were in that clubhouse, like Zach Collins, for example, who had Frank Menachino as his hitting coach when he was at Charlotte during the season. So I don't know if I'd quite go as far to say that that was like some sort of harbinger of things to come, but I definitely think that they did love the work that he did at AAA. And, you know, with you're going to have Luis Robert and Nick Madrigal up probably for the majority of next season, there's a guy who just worked with both those guys in Charlotte.
Do you think they're looking at it not just from a let's get on base more, but like listening to Rick Hahn? I think he was perhaps even worried there might be some regression, you know, Tim Anderson, and expecting it. Like, look, he's probably not going to win the batting title again and hit .335. But perhaps, like, look, this will be a way to sort of round out even the solid years that we got, or great years that we got from Tim and from, I mean, I think Eloy had a great year for a rookie coming in hitting 30-plus bombs. That was super impressive, which is not getting talked about a ton. Like, it was just like a given that he was going to come up here and hit 30 homers. So I think they're also trying to manage that part of it as well.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that Rick says all the time is he says, you know, these young players, they're not finished products. And usually that's in a response to when guys are going through growing pains, right? We asked him about it and Ricky about it as well all during the year with Eloy Jimenez, who, like you said, had a great season from a power standpoint. But obviously some of the numbers are not where he wants them to be by the time things are all said and done. And I think even though you had breakout seasons for guys like Anderson and Moncada, I think that even though those are positive things, I think that can still apply. You know, these guys aren't finished products. They still do need to keep growing. If you're into the BABIP kind of situation, both Anderson and Moncada's were through the roof this year. So if that's kind of something that you use as an indicator that things could go down from a results standpoint next year, from strictly a numbers standpoint, then yeah, maybe they want to keep that development going, keep these guys going in a positive direction, not just settle for this being kind of the final stage, but try and get to those high ceilings that we've been hearing about with all these guys for a long time now.
Vinny Duber, NBC Sports Chicago, covering the White Sox with us here on White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. My name is Mark Harmon. What's coming next, Vinny? What do you think the next move that we will see from the Chicago White Sox in offseason 2020?
Yeah, yeah, if we're strictly talking about, chronological order here, I think you've got to look at kind of some of the non-tender decisions that they need to make. Earlier this week, we saw some of those arbitration projections, and that could kind of, play into what they're doing this offseason. I don't think I'm of the camp that would say that I don't think the $10 million that's projected for Alex Colomé is going to be enough to, make them take him off the roster. They kind of committed to him not only when they traded Omar Narváez for him last offseason, but when they did not trade Alex Colomé at the trade deadline this year, which they did with their closers in each of the last two seasons. So I think that they knew, what they were getting into for financially when they went out and got Colomé. And for some of the folks out there who weren't happy with what he did in the second half, certainly his performance was not as good as it was in the first half. This is a guy who's been a dependable back of the bullpen guy for a while. On the other hand, I think Yolmer Sanchez, they've got a decision to make with him, whether that much money is going to be enough for a guy who's probably going to be reserved to a bench role once Nick Madrigal comes up sometime next season. So that might be a little too expensive to keep Yolmer Sanchez on the team, which is crazy considering he might win a Gold Glove here in a little bit.
So Yolmer, correct me if I'm wrong on the numbers here, he's scheduled to make or projected to make a little bit over $6 million, correct?
That's what the MLB Trade Rumors projection was, yeah.
$6 million for a guy who's going to play, let's call it, half the season all around the diamond. That's not exactly expensive by today's baseball standards, is it?
True enough, but I think you got to look at the offensive piece, too. And, obviously, Yolmer Sanchez is great defensively. He can play three different infield positions, but you've got a White Sox team that is looking to make a lot of moves this winter. There's a lot of items on the to-do list. Going to need every one of those dollars to go ahead and fill some of these holes that Rick Hahn talked about at his end-of-season press conference. And so, everything adds up. Yolmer Sanchez, great defensively, but a guy who is really not getting it done offensively, especially even by his own standards from what he did the year before and the year before that. So with the offense going down, other cheaper options available to play those same positions in reserve roles, maybe a guy like Danny Mendick or even Leury Garcia, who can also play all three outfield positions, it just kind of seems like Yolmer might get squeezed out. Obviously, the White Sox could have a different opinion. They certainly love him. They love him in the clubhouse. They love what he does in the field. So they have a decision to make, and we'll see what that is.
Okay, Vinny, let's make it personal right now. I love Yolmer Sanchez. I am a believer in Yolmer Sanchez. Yolmer Sanchez, if you look at his numbers, he had .267 in 2017 with an on-base of .319. He had a WAR of 3.5, which is decent. Then he trended down a little bit, .242. He had .252 this year, Vinny. Come on, man. That's not terrible, is it? 125 hits on the year. Why can't we have Yolmer? Yolmer's a leader, man. He's 27 years old. He loves being here. He's a White Sox through and through. That's my best pitch I got.
There is no doubt about that, and there is no doubt that he is a very great clubhouse presence. That being said, when you're looking to construct a roster that could be contending as soon as next year, you're looking at a guy in Nick Madrigal who is going to hit, the White Sox hope, is going to hit a lot better than that and play what they've been billing as Gold Glove caliber defense from the day they drafted him. So if he can do both hit and defend, Yolmer's usefulness is perhaps not quite as high if there's no hole he can plug there on the field.
You think he's on a big league roster next year?
Yeah, I think he's on a big league roster next year. Like I said, he might have a Gold Glove here in a couple of weeks, so I think that'd be attractive to a lot of teams.
Okay, fair enough. As long as Yolmer's in the big leagues, I guess at the end of the day, I'm all right. if it makes the sense for the White Sox to move forward, I don't like to get emotional on these things, but I got a little Ricky Renteria in me here, which he did mention. Vinny Duber from NBC Sports Chicago with us here on White Sox Weekly. He mentioned it was hard for him to move on from Todd Steverson. Like, he had to take emotion out of it. So I don't think it clearly wasn't a personal thing between those two. That's fair, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that they just see Frank Menachino as doing a better job for the position they're in at the moment. They're trying to, get into that next stage of the rebuild, as they keep saying, and perhaps that moves along from, introducing guys to the big leagues and trying to get them to reach their full potential.
I don't know where that sounder just came from, but I just did something wrong over here. But we apologize from all of us at WGN on that one. All right, so, okay, we get through the tender period. Now we get into free agency. Go ahead and make a prediction, Vinny. Who will be the first Chicago White Sox signed?
I'll give you an easy one first and say Jose Abreu, because I think that I've been saying it on our White Sox Talk podcast for the last few weeks here that I think it's just about 100% that he's back in a White Sox uniform for next year. So, obviously, Rick Hahn laid out the possibility that could go on and still have the same result, go on for a certain amount of time and still have the same result with him back on the team. But I'll take the easy way out and say it'll be Abreu as the first one back.
Okay, number two.
I think that if you see J.D. Martinez opt out of his deal with the Red Sox, I think that makes a lot of sense for the White Sox to fill that hole at DH with a very reliable bat, one of the most productive bats in the big leagues here over the last few seasons. That would be kind of that middle-of-the-order splash that they've been looking to make, that they were looking to make last winter with Manny Machado. This time around, they can do it perhaps with J.D. Martinez. I don't know what order they'll all fall in, but I think that that's a guy that White Sox fans should circle. Because it's just a very good possibility, a very good fit, I think. We had a guy from Boston talking to us a little bit earlier this week, and he had nothing but great things to say about the kind of clubhouse guy that J.D. Martinez is, which definitely should be attractive to the White Sox as well. So that's what I'll go with.
What type of dough you think you're looking at for J.D. Martinez?
Well, let's see. I think he's got about... I think if he's opting out, it's what? It's roughly 3 and 60 or something. I could be totally wrong on that one, but I think people have been throwing around an estimate of about 4 years, $100 million, and that's a lot. But this is a guy who's been extremely productive, hits a ton of home runs, and just won a World Series last year. With the Red Sox not playing this October, it's easy to forget how fantastic they were just a year ago, and he was a big part of that.
Yeah, He's got a phenomenal reputation. Martinez, I'll go through the numbers here real fast, but I'll have that before we get to the end of the show or truly break it down, because you're high that the White Sox will be there. You didn't mention Gerrit Cole here, Vinny. You don't think that's happening, do you?
I certainly think that they will have interest in Gerrit Cole. I think Gerrit Cole is going to get a ton of money. Every time he steps on the mound here in these playoffs, he's jacking that number up, it seems. I think the biggest spending teams are going to be in there. The White Sox have the financial flexibility to be one of those biggest spending teams, but if you look at their history, they're perhaps more inclined to give that money to a hitter than a pitcher. Rick Hahn wants to break all of those preconceived notions, but we'll see. I think Gerrit Cole is going to be extremely popular this winter, and don't forget, too, he went to high school about a 10-minute drive from Angel Stadium.
Yeah, that could be a factor, too. All right, and by the way, JD's 32 years old. He's walking away from 3 years and $62.5 million. You're right there on the numbers. And maybe Gerrit wants to go play for Joe Maddon out in with the Angels. All right, last one here for you, Vinny. In your mind, for the White Sox to get to the level that they want to get to in 2020, what's your if you're making a list, number one priority, number two priority, on what they need this offseason?
Yeah, I think the number one priority's got to be a starting pitcher. I think everybody, that's pretty obvious to everybody who watched them play last year. I'm probably a little bit higher on the fact that, you're going to have a lot of these internal guys kind of come back and be reliable in that rotation, be it Dylan Cease figuring things out now that he's had a little more time in the majors, be it Michael Kopech now that he's healthy. I'm not sure about Ronaldo Lopez just because of what we saw from him, lack of consistency over the course of the season. But add Lucas Giolito to that list, and you're going to have at least three guys there who are going to stick in that rotation all year long. But I do think you need another top-of-the-rotation guy to really kind of push him over the edge. I look at a guy who's going to be out there this winter, Madison Bumgarner, as a guy who could kind of be the White Sox John Lester, so to speak, a guy with not only a great track record, a great resume, but who really knows how to win in October and can kind of help this group of young guys kind of lead them in that way. So I think a guy like that would be at the top of my list. Is that going to be what happens? We have to wait and see. But obviously the White Sox are going to be looking at a DH, as I mentioned, and they're going to be looking for a new right fielder, too. So I think the big thing to remember is, are they going to be able to make any trades because of what happened in the farm system this year? A lot of injuries, a lot of guys performing under what they did the year before. Is there going to be a package able to be created to land one of these impact names, or are the White Sox going to just have to simply go out on the free agent market and spend? I'm more inclined to think that the latter is more realistic, but we shall see.
Vinny, great stuff. Good to be with you today, man. I appreciate you taking time. And, of course, check out the White Sox Talk podcast. You and Chuck and Ryan McGuffey and whoever else makes an appearance on there. Chris Komka, you all do a phenomenal job, man. So thanks for the time today.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Vinny Duber, NBC Sports Chicago. Sox games are better with a group. It's never too early to lock in your 2020 group package. From a diamond suite to a pregame patio party, we've got the perfect space for your occasion. For more information, visit WhiteSox.com or call 312-674-1000. And our conversation with Vinny, sponsored by Mazda of Orland Park and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can hear from the manager, Ricky Renteria, coming on back here. It's White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly till the top of the hour. Then I'm sticking around till 5:30. I got so much on my mind that I want to talk about in that half hour. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, to be honest. But I am going to mention the marathon this weekend, which I'm not running in, but I want to do at some point in my life. Let me get to Ricky Renteria in a second here. But a reminder, the White Sox pop-up shop is coming back to Orland Square this offseason. You can visit the White Sox store at Orland Square Mall, October 15th through January 15th, conveniently located across from the Apple Store. Fans can shop stadium exclusives and special promotions throughout the holidays. For more information, follow at White Sox Store on Instagram. So Rick Renteria was a part of this conversation this week with the new hitting coach, Frank Menachino. Let's ask Rick how this move, in his mind, is going to help the ball club.
Maybe it expands the underlying value of some of the things that we need to do in terms of, you know, getting on base more. And that simply means probably that guys are more going to be more apt to be aggressive with their pitches, staying in their lanes, trying to do a little bit in terms of just being more disciplined. I think it keeps the line moving and allows guys to continue to improve upon their approaches. I think the way he connects to guys, as we've seen with, you know, a lot of the things we've talked about, seems to be a place that we need to go to. And, you know, that coupled with, you know, hopefully some additions to continue to improve us overall, give us an opportunity to be on the other side of winning and losing. I mean, I'm not going to make any bones about it. It's time to turn the page. It's time to get us to a different level of performance. But that goes across the board. It goes on all aspects of our game.
So that's the zillionth time, literally the zillionth time that Ricky has mentioned, we are not messing around in 2020, at least as far as the expectations are concerned. We are raising the bar. We had a great year in some aspects last year. Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu, I don't need to run through it all again with you, James McCann, Lucas Giolito, etc. But they didn't win enough games, 72 of them, which was a 10-game improvement. You improve by 10 games next year, you're at least in the mix for a wild card at 82 and 80. And hopefully it'll be a lot more than that. What he also named there is that on-base thing. And I said the White Sox were 23rd in on-base out of 30 teams. They were 30th out of 30 in walks. 378 walks, which is actually a distant last behind the Tigers at 391. So tops in baseball getting on via the base on balls, that would be the Houston Astros, who I would say right now, well, if they're not the favorite, they're a coin flip to win the World Series. 645 times they walked. Milwaukee was a playoff team, 629 walks. Atlanta was a playoff team, 619 walks. The Dodgers were a playoff team, 607 walks. So the top four teams in the league in walks were all in the playoffs. The White Sox know that they need to get better there, and that's part of the reason that Frank Menachino is now the new hitting coach. How does Ricky see Menachino raising the level of everybody else?
I think everybody believed that he could probably, you know, not that Todd did a terrible job, but that Frank can get us to a different level. Obviously, his communication skills and the way he, you know, connected with players was a big thing that you know, everybody impressed upon me when the conversations that we had. And then, you know, when he was here for the last few weeks of the season, you can see how he was connecting with players and things of that nature. So I was able to see that firsthand. But, you know, a lot of the information that was being presented in terms of how things were developing and evolving on the minor league side with these guys was, you know, seemed very impressive. And you can see some of the, you know, improvements that were occurring. And so I thought it was just, as we all sat down, we put our heads together and, you know, listened to all the commentary of everything that was going on and just felt that, you know, Frankie seemed like the guy that would be able to get us to another phase of development with our players.
Another phase of development. That word connecting, how does he connect? You make it a connection. Does everybody have a connection? Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? Are we meeting eye to eye? That word, I just feel like I hear it more nowadays. How is he connecting with the players? All right, last one from Ricky real fast was moving on from Todd Steverson hard.
One of the things that I believe that is really important are relationships. And I'd be lying to you if I said that moving on wasn't a difficult thing to do. You try to take emotion out of it. You try to make sure that you're seeing all things that will benefit the organization to the best of its ability. At this particular point, my heart was still with those guys. But if I take the emotion out of it, I try to look at it logically and see how we can possibly improve and the expectations and the possibilities that we continue to do what we need to do in order to get better. That obviously has to play a bigger part because this is beyond us personally. This is about the organization, and it will be that way beyond me and beyond any other coach that's here. It's always going to be about making sure that the organization is putting its best foot forward to give both the ownership and the fans and everyone that's coming out to support us the best chance to have the success that we want.
It's one of the challenges of being the boss, right? I love you, man. You're a good friend of mine. You've been here for a long time, but I got to do what's best for the club. I'm sorry, but we're no longer going to work together. It's not an easy conversation to have. So that'll wrap up White Sox Weekly. News is coming up, and then I'll be with you till 5:30. A reminder, upgrade your game day in 2020 with premium seating. Enjoy an all-inclusive experience with packages that start at just 20 games. Cheer on your Sox from the best seats in the house. For more information, visit WhiteSox.com or call 312-674-1000. Check a news coming right up.